one of us this morning. And I know that Pastor Don has been diligent in digging into God's word and seeking what God has put in his heart to share with us this morning. Amen? Amen. So if you can just go ahead and bow your heads and let's go ahead and pray for Pastor Don. Dear Lord, right now we just lift up Pastor Don. Heavenly Father, we just pray that the words that come out of his mouth are your words, dear Lord. We ask that these words penetrate our hearts, our souls, and our minds, Heavenly Father. That it not just be words that we just hear, but words, dear Lord, that we just take seriously into our hearts, Heavenly Father, and be obedient to it, dear Lord. I ask that you bless him and anointing over him and all the words that he speaks forth, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see all smiling faces. Amen. You know, I want to share a quick story. Wednesday, I met with an old friend. And I meet with him every now and then. And he had been in the ministry for many, many years. And as we were sitting there having coffee, he looked at me. And it was just him and I. We're usually joined by some other people. And he said, "Do you want to still continue meeting?" And it kind of caught me off guard a little bit because we had been doing this for years. And he said, "You know, we really don't get the other guys to join us anymore, and it's just me and you." And when he said that, I kind of looked at him and, you know, it just kind of ripped my heart because I knew what he was going through. And I said, "No, you know, I want to continue meeting. Even if it's just me and you, we're still going to meet and have our coffee." But as I left there that day, there were some things that he had said that kind of weighed upon my heart. And, you know, he had been in the ministry, and I heard him say this before. He says, "You know what?" He says, "I don't mind going to churches and preaching or doing a wedding or funeral, but I don't want to deal with the people anymore." What do you think that this man had been through during all these years that would, you know, have that in his heart? And it just kind of, you know, weighed upon my heart that this man who loved Christ, who loved serving people, but he was at his wit's end. He didn't want to pastor no more. He basically just wanted to step back and, you know, kind of do some simple things where he didn't have to deal with problems and issues and what have you. And during the week, I talked to some other people that are believers, and this was the same kind of thread that was going through. They're tired. They're, you know, they're just don't want anything to do, you know, with doing things, you know, with the church or at the church. And a lot of it could probably be from this whole lockdown with the pandemic that we're going through. But it just really weighed upon my heart that, you know, there's something that we need from each other. And that's why I told him that I wanted to keep meeting with him because I still wanted to try to impart life to him as much as I could and him life to me. You know, when you pull yourself away from other believers, there's an issue. You know, when you don't want to gather around with other people, there's an issue of the heart. And, you know, God has put us in a family, and maybe some of you have regular families, and not everything goes right in those families. But you got to learn to deal with it. You got to learn how to respond to it and how to handle it, amen, in a godly way. So as I was thinking of these people I met, especially this friend of mine, I was thinking of a man in the Bible who probably could identify with that. And maybe some of you are here today and you're in that place. You're just tired, you're just kind of like, you know what, I just want to be bothered with things. But how many of you know that the kingdom of God continues to march on? Amen? We're not pausing. I mean, there's times for pausing in your life and taking steps, but I wanted to share today just the things surrounding this guy in the book of Acts, well, that's where we're going to go, that he was going through, and maybe you can relate to. And I kind of entitled this, Being Restored Back to Spiritual Wholeness. Amen? You know, we could even go to church, we can do all those things, but there could still be that joy, there could still be that fire that has waned down. Amen? And maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you say, "No, Pastor, I feel pretty good, I feel like that fire, maybe we'll stoke it up a little bit more." But maybe for some of you, you know, we're in the middle of the summer months and sometimes things get rough. So turn with me over to Acts chapter 3 and we're going to look at a man who I believe, can illustrate a lot of things for us that maybe we're feeling at this point. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago in our Wednesday night class. By the way, I invite you to come out on Wednesday night. We're having a class. We're going through the book of Acts. But this story just kind of continued to come back to my mind over the week as I talked to these different people. So let's look and see what the conditions were in this guy's life. Let's read verses 1 through 2 in chapter 3. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And the first thing we're told about this guy, we don't know what his name is. All we're told is that he was what? A cripple. And I believe that this can be an indication to our life. We can be growing in the Lord, but some of us may not grow. We become crippled in our spiritual walk. You know, we've allowed something to hamper our walk. Might be unforgiveness, might be some type of sin, just might be apathy, complacency. There's all whole list of things. Maybe we've been hurt by people. But something has stepped in and has hindered our walk. Now, the interesting thing about this man that was lame, if you know the Old Testament, if you were lame or you had some type of defect, you could not go in to the courts of the Lord. You had to remain outside. And so this guy, who it tells us is actually lame from birth, never was able to go through that particular gate that he was laid at. How many of you feel like there's a point in your life you just haven't been able to go through a certain time period, a certain gate into the presence of God? You know, within that temple court, when they walked through that gate, they could see that beautiful temple that was there. That temple that Herod had built over 47 years. It was an incredible edifice. You know, Jesus' disciples came to him one time and they pointed out the stones and they said, look at that beautiful stones here. And we know Jesus said, you know, I tell you that, you know, in the future, not one of these stones will be left. But it was an incredible building. There's a historian, Josephus, and he writes in his history of the Jewish people, and he says, those who had never seen Herod's temple had never seen beauty. It was awe-inspiring. There are reports of men and women as they ascended up Mount Zion and they beheld the temple. They would literally fall down and weep at the beauty that they saw. But here's this lame man who never had the opportunity to go through those gates. And there's something there for us that when entering those gates, you know, Psalm 100 says, what? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his holy name. And so the entering of those gates is very important in our life. It represents going into a whole new chapter, a whole new area that God is maybe taking us. But some of us, like this lame beggar, are stuck outside the gate. And we sit there day after day after day after day and never have access to go in. You feel like that? Is there something today that maybe has hindered your walk? Spiritually. I'm talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. What is it? Only you know. Maybe today is that day you say, God, you know what? I'm tired of sitting out here. I want to go in. And there's a significance there because the presence of God was within those gates. You know, you had the temple, and if you know the temple setting, you had the Holy of Holies, and you had the most holy, you had the holy place. And the very Shekinah glory, the very presence of God was in there. And so when the priest ministered, the glory of God would radiate on them. And even throughout the courtyard, as you had the altar and you had the big bath where they washed, and all these different things were there, and it was just a glorious thing. But this man never got to enter into where the presence of God was. There's a lot of Christians serving God, but they never experienced that intimate fellowship. They never experienced that entering into the very presence of God. And I had people all the time, and I said this, this guy that I had coffee with, I could tell he was like this lame man sitting outside the gate where the glory had just departed, so to speak. The presence of God wasn't in his life because he had given and given and given and been hurt over and over and over and over again. And unfortunately, there was nobody really pouring into his life. And he didn't want to put himself in that position where he was going to be hurt all over again. Well, the next thing we're told about this guy is that he had to be carried. Could you imagine being over 40 years old? I don't know, you know, what time they begin to carry him out to that gate. But they would set him out there, and they would set him so he could beg from those that were going in. And we know throughout the scriptures, we know that there were others. I was thinking of the story of the paralytic who, the four men, they brought him, and he couldn't get into Jesus because there was a large crowd around him. So they climbed up on the roof and tore the roof open and lowered him down. Those are the kind of friends you want, amen? Somebody who's going to carry you, all right, to the presence of God. It's going to take you right to the feet of Jesus. But these men that carried him, they couldn't take him any further than that. And maybe you've been praying for somebody. Maybe you've been witnessing to somebody, getting with somebody, fellowshipping with somebody. But you're not going to be able to take them into that court. It's going to have to be God himself, a supernatural act, some type of thing that's going to do it. God can use you, obviously, as we're going to see here in a second. But these men faithfully carried him day after day after day after day. Maybe you have, some of you have family members that require every day you got to go by there and look out for them. Anybody have like that? You know, when my father was alive, I had to go by there in the morning and in the evening. He had he was a diabetic, and give him a shot, make sure his blood sugar and all that. And it can wear on you after a while. You know, let's be honest. You know, but we're called to do that. And I'm thinking, what do these guys go through that every day? They had to carry this guy. And you know, that was no easy walk going up to where the temple was at. Because it was located about 4,000 feet above sea level. You know, and where they came, they probably had to walk a good couple hundred feet up a hill to get there. And so, not just carrying them, but going uphill. I remember when we were in Mexico, and they have a mountain there. And I told Donna, you know, Donna had gone with us numerous times to Mexico, and there was a hill that you would walk up. And it was pretty high. It was about 1,500 feet high. And it had various places along the way where they had like these little signs, and you would stop and we would pray. And Donna, because of her physical ability, she couldn't make it up there. It was hot and the MS would kick in. But we told Donna, one day we're going to carry you to the top. And the day that we had all set to carry her up there, it started pouring rain. So, but we were going to throw her on a blanket, you know, six of us, and just carry her on up that hill. And it was not an easy climb. You know, yes, dear Fred, you guys have been up there. You know, that first, you know, about 1,000 feet, it's a pretty good angle. You know, but they would carry this guy day after day after day after day. But I think of this guy just sitting there, watching everybody else go into the courts. You ever see that where you just look at someone and you go, why do they always have the blessing of God? Why are they always filled with the presence? There's something about them. And you watch them day after day after day after day and you go, I want to be like that. Why can't I be like that? Why can't I have that joy? Why can't I have that life? Why can't I enter into the presence of God? Well, this guy there for over 40 years, he had to be carried. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we got to be carried spiritually. Somebody's always dragging, always bringing us. You know, I knew a guy who, this guy would go to church, but he never would carry somebody else. And what I mean by that, he would never pick up somebody else's load and help them carry it. It was all about him. He had this need, he had that need, he had this need, that need, and it was always about him. And so one day, I checked his giving record for missions, for building fund, you know, and there was nothing in there over a couple of years. And that spoke to me and said, he's like this cripple. He needs somebody to carry him all the time. But he wasn't willing to help one of his brothers or sisters lift their load. So we see this guy, and like I said, my friend that was sitting there, I was just like, somebody needs to carry him. And that's why I wanted to continue meeting with him, because you could just see he needed. He was just spiritually drained. Another thing about this guy is we're told that he was a beggar. A lot of Christians that are spiritual beggars, amen? We don't know how to feed ourselves. We have to rely upon other people constantly feeding us instead of us getting into the Word or getting into fellowship and coming and feeding someone else. And here he was a beggar, always taking the scraps, taking the alms that people that were generous would give to him. Well, we know his condition. That's what he had to do. But like I said, I think he could identify with a lot of us that we get to that point where we're just in that rut day after day after day after day and just getting the scraps. And God wants to give us something good. You know, we read about the prodigal son. And it says that he went out. We know the story. He went out. He spent all that his father had given him. And he was there and he was feeding the pigs on the pig farm. And it said that he longed for the pods that the pigs were eating. That he was in a spiritual state that, man, he was that beggar. He was that spiritual beggar. Just give me something. Give me a morsel. Give me something that I can put in my mouth and get some type of sustenance from my body. And unfortunately, hopefully you're not in that spot, but maybe you are. You're just tired and you feel like God hasn't spoken to you. You feel like He's just abandoned you. Well, He hasn't. Those songs that we sang, He never abandoned you. He's always there. He was laid outside the temple courts, outside the gate. He was laid at this gate called Beautiful. They're not sure what that gate is. They believe it was one of the gates. It was the main gate that led into the very temple complex up on the Temple Mount. And this gate was very ornate. It was called the Beautiful Gate because it had flowers. I mean, it was surpassed all the other gates. And so when people came in, they would look at this thing and it would just overwhelm them with awe. I remember as a kid, we used to go down to Tiger Stadium all the time. I know some of you old timers like me, you'd go down, we used to take a bus down there. And I remember, just standing outside looking at that stadium, because I love baseball, and I'm looking at this beautiful stadium. You pay your ticket and you go in, and you see the popcorn, the popcorn and the hot dog, the smells and the sounds. But then they had this tunnel that you had to walk through. And you walked out to where you were going to sit. And you couldn't see the field. But once you walked through that tunnel, you could see the field. And it was like those lines were the whitest white. That grass, the green, the greenest green you ever saw. That orange out there. And everything just exploded in this vibrant color. And I think to myself, this poor guy, he was laid outside that gate. He could never go past that point to see the beauty that was in there. He may have got little glimpses here and there. And maybe some of you get glimpses every now and then of the presence of God in your life, and you go, I like that, but that's for so-and-so, that's not for me. I don't know how to attain that. I don't know how to get it. God's going to give it to you. Amen. God's going to take you through that gate, that when you go through it, this whole new world is going to open up. This was the condition. This condition, like I said, that with my friend, it was just, he was sitting there to experience the glorious things that God had done for him and was doing in other people. We're also told that he had been there for a long time. He's put there every day. In other words, everybody that came by him, they knew his condition, didn't they? They'd come by and they'd look and they'd, probably threw a few shekels in their pocket. All right, this guy, he's been there day after day after day after day. I know whenever I come into church, I get off 75 and Outer Drive, and there's that guy standing there at the corner with that little sign. And he's begging for money every day. But he sure got enough cigarettes to smoke, and he's leaving trash all over the place. And he's got a little walker that he hangs on the fence over by this guy's house, and he pulls that out, and he stands there with his little sign, and he's playing on your emotions. And this guy is as physically healthy as you or I, but he's using it as a con. Well, obviously this guy here, he wasn't. Everybody knew his condition. They saw him day after day after day after day for almost 40 years. Incredible. And I'm sure all hope of ever being healed, that wasn't even in his mind. His mindset was probably, I just want to get enough money where I can have some food, maybe get some new clothes every now and then. Maybe pay my rent. Who knows? But he wasn't living high on the hog. He was a pauper. And as I said, everybody knew his condition. Isn't that true, too, that when you're going through something, others know your condition, too? That's why we have the intercessory prayer. That's why we encourage people. Pray for one another. Call one another. Visit one another. I know we just recently had somebody who had to have an operation, and they needed a ride, and Betty was kind enough to take them out there and spent the entire day with this person and was blessed that he knew her condition and was like, hey, I'm going to help. I'm going to take them out there. To have people that you can rely on. Now, she couldn't do that all the time, but to have her there at that particular time, I'll tell you what, that's a comfort. Amen. To have people in the church that hey, my brothers and sisters have my back. if I go through something, they're there. I know I can count on them. I know they can count on Carmen, right, Carmen? I saw. So if you ever have problems at the hospital, call Carmen. She'll take care of things over there for you. So we see these things. We see that, you know, he was in this condition. He was not whole, was he? And so what began to happen now where God is going to restore to him the wholeness? You know, that's what God is interested in doing, isn't he? Is making you spiritually whole before him. That's the whole reason that Christ came, died upon that cross. Let's read further, and we'll get an idea of what happens here. Starting at verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 10. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so we see here, the first thing he did is he kind of recognizes who Peter and John is. We're not told in this story had he seen them before. We're not told if he was familiar with who Jesus was. Probably familiar what was going on in Jerusalem prior to this. Maybe have heard of the name of Jesus. Thought, well, you know, I'd like to get healed, but I can't get out to Nazareth or go up to Capernaum to get healed. I have to sit here day after day because if I leave my spot, maybe somebody else is going to take my spot, okay, and then I lose that. Plus, I'm not going to have the money that maybe somebody would give me. And so there was something about Peter and John that drew this lame beggar's attention. Is there someone that looks at you and they go, "There's something different about you"? They may not be saved. And what they're seeing is the glory of God. I remember years ago, we used to have a weight training gym over here in Melvindale, and I wasn't having a good week. Betty, you probably don't remember this week, but there was a young boy that used to come, and we used to minister to him all the time. Big kid, man. He was like in ninth grade. This kid was like 6'6". He's just huge, big redheaded kid. And we love this kid, but I had a bad week, or I'm arguing with people, and I'm frustrated. I know, Kim, you've never been there, right? All right. And so at the end of the week, this kid, he comes over and he says, "Mr. Woolen, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, you know, what do you want to talk to?" He goes, "I've been watching you all week." And I was like, "Oh, no." I'm thinking this kid is just going to blast me. You know, like, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be doing this and this and this and that. And so we sat down. He says, "I don't know what you have, but I want to be like you. I want to know," and I begin to cry because I'm thinking, man, it wasn't me, because this kid saw me, you know, that week. But God blocked that out. But there was something there that was drawing him. And I believe this beggar, too, you've all been to it. There was somebody maybe in your life that led you to the Lord. You were drawn to this person. You know, they came by, or you kept running into them at work or at the gym or, you know, wherever it is that you go, and there was something that just drew you to them. And it was like, I want to be like them. And so we don't know the reason, Peter and John, but it says that he saw them. Now, you know how many people went through that gate every day? Probably thousands of people. All those who lived in Jerusalem and in the surrounding area, they were required to go up there three times a day. At 9 in the morning, at noon, and at 3 in the afternoon. So it's 3 in the afternoon when Peter and John go up there, and that was known as one of the hours of prayer. So that was their habit. They were going up there, they were going to worship God and probably teach the people in the courts that were there. For some reason, his eyes were drawn to this guy. So as we read here, it says they recognized him, the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. All right? Back up a little bit. Go back to verse 8 here. Let's take a look here. Keep going. Let's go back a little bit more. Go another one. We're going to keep backing up. We're going to walk backwards. Got to do the Michael Jackson thing. So the man, go back there to 4, where Peter and John. So Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." People that are in that condition, they're just drained spiritually. There's times they just need to focus upon you. They need to see. That's why I told my friend, I said, "No, we're going to continue to meet. Maybe there's something I can do just to pour into you, to encourage you, you know, to get you out of that rut, to get you up and walking again, to get you moving, not sitting here begging for scraps." And so look straight at us. And as I said, there's going to be times that God just opens those doors. I remember another time, Betty, you know, used to have a restaurant years ago, Fellowship Restaurant. And I get a call from Betty one night, and she said, "Oh, you got to come down to the restaurant. There's a young man here who's suicidal." And I knew him. Betty knew this young guy. And I said, "I'll be down there." And so I walked into the restaurant. He's sitting in the booth, and he's shaking. And he opened up a little Gideon's Bible, you know, like they hand out in front of the schools here. And he turned to that verse, "Come unto me that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he said, "I want this in my life." He said, "All I've been thinking about is killing myself. And I don't want to do it. I know it's wrong." And this guy used to come to our Bible studies just to create havoc. And it was one of those instances, look at us. Because what we're about to tell you is going to change your life. Look at us. Give us your attention. And he did. Gave his life to the Lord that night and became a brother in the Lord. Amen. You remember that, Betty? Amen. Go to the next verse, verse 5. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. You know, the world is expecting to get something from the church. Unfortunately, a lot of times we come with empty hands. Don't we? You know, you look for that opportunity. It may not present itself right away, but there's something that you have that you can give. That's why I enjoy coaching so much, because when I go down there, well, the coaching I love, but it's being with these kids, and I know this is a stepping stone to share the gospel with them. And I told this story, you know, sometimes you wonder if it's going to sink in. You know, do I have these kids' attention? I tell the story, we're playing a game one day, and a girl from the other team, she slides into second base, and she breaks her ankle. And she's screaming out in pain, and so I would always walk out there. It didn't matter who got hurt, we were going to go out there and help him. So the coach of the other team is yelling at this girl, his own girl, "Get up, you're all right." And he walked out and looked at her and said, "Ah, it's just a sprain," and turned around and walked back. And her ankle was like sitting on a 90-degree angle, sticking out this way. Hey, sprain, that thing's broke. It's fractured. And she's just rolling on the ground in pain. So I picked her up, carried her over to the bench. Somebody had called EMS, and they're on the way, and I'm trying to comfort her and speak to her. And, you know, as a pastor, you would think I would step up and pray for her right away, right? No, that thought didn't even go through my head. But I turned around, and what had happened was all these girls that play for me walked over and walked off the field and came over and said, "Coach, we want to pray for her." And they got down on their hands and knees and just laid hands on her. And at that point there, I was like, you know what? You got my attention. But there's somebody there, they're looking to you for something. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a word of direction. It may be an invitation out to church. Maybe you sitting down and praying for them for a need that they're going through. But we see here that they got his attention. Amen? Go to the next verse. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I have, do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Hey, you got nothing to offer the world except what? Christ. Now, I'm not minimizing gifts that you have. Some of you are great singers or your architects or the giftings that you have. But the real gift that we have to share with other people is what? This life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And this guy that was sitting at the temple gates, he was never going to have that life-changing encounter with the very presence of God because he couldn't get past that gate. He had to stay there. But this day, God had other plans. And he was saying, guess what? I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to change your life dramatically. Watch and see what happens. And so Peter says, what? Silver and gold I don't have, but I'm going to give you what I do have. It's this person, Jesus Christ. And they pray over him and he stands up. What did you need when somebody shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yeah, you know, we need everything. But that's where it starts. It starts with that encounter with Christ, that you know your sins are forgiven. You know that something has changed. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, I walked around the campus. It was up in Eastern Michigan. I walked around the campus there for hours because everything just seemed brighter and louder. And, you know, it was just a whole different way of looking at things. And when we give our life to the Lord, boom, there's something that takes place. But it was just somebody sharing the gospel with me. They didn't give me anything but that. Sat down and read the four spiritual laws. I said, that's what I want. And when I prayed it, I meant it in my heart, and it was the day that everything changed. How many of you know this was a day that everything changed for this guy? Today could be a day that everything changes for you. Maybe, like I said, you're in that spot. And Christ is saying, you know what? I want to come. I want to heal you. I want to bring that spiritual wholeness back to your life. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's why we're gathered here today. That's why we sing those songs. It's to worship Him for what He's done in our life. How many have received a blessing here just recently? Come on, every hand should go up. See, you know why I do that? Because if the hands don't go up, I think you're like this beggar here. Like, oh, I ain't getting nothing. Oh, you're alive, aren't you? You got a breath. But see, we don't look at everything that we have as a gift of God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from our Father above. And so when I ask that, who's been blessed? Oh, every hand should go up. I don't know about you, but a guy came here today, I had a cup of coffee waiting for me. That has got to be one of the biggest blessings I can receive. Okay? You laugh at that, but it really is. You know how many times having a cup of coffee with someone has allowed me to share the gospel with them? And so it sounds funny, but it's just a little thing that I will use all the time. Sharing with them who Jesus is. Next one. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. You know, they just didn't leave him on his own, but they acted in concert with him. They went over, come on, get up. It's time to move. And like my friend there, that's why I didn't want to just walk in through the gates like, well, you know, you've been serving God, you sit out here, and, you know, we won't meet anymore, and you can just kind of, you know, be at the gate here and worry about life and finish out your course. Just sitting at the gate begging, not me, I'm going in. No. God's saying, you got to take them with you. You got to grab them by the hand. You remember that old song, Brother Loves Traveling Salvation Show, Neil Diamond? And he says, sometimes you got to reach down with your hand and you got to grab your brother's hand, you got to pull him up because that's what it's there for. And I thought of this, that there are times you got to literally, you're going to have to make those sacrifices. You're going to have to go and be with that person. Be with, you know, take somebody to the hospital. Sit with somebody in the hospital. Go visit them in their home. They're shut in. Whatever they're going through, the people just need that encouragement. Just you coming through the door sometimes will lift their spirit. That's why we love, Donna went with me, did some hospital ministry when Kara was out at U of M. And I don't know if I've shared this story, but you know, we're driving out there, and Carol had to be there early in the morning to have an operation for her back. And so the whole way, I'm crying, I need a coffee, you know. And as soon as we came in from the parking structure in the U of M hospital, I could smell the coffee. Like, ah, you know, remember those cartoons, the dog would smell food and kind of float over there? Well, that was me. Well, the coffee counter was right around the corner from where we came in. And so I go, come on. So we walked in there, and there was a couple of people in front of us, and I said, hey, I'm buying everybody's coffee here. Remember that, Donna? And everybody's like, oh, thank you, you know. And so we started talking to a girl that was standing in line behind us. And, you know, I'm just, you know, joking around, trying to get everybody to laugh. And this girl almost begins to cry. She says, we told her we were Christians. I told her I was a pastor and that we were there with Carol and, you know, told the whole story. And she begins to cry, and she says, you're not going to believe it. I'm a Christian too. She said, I started working here. I forget what the time period was. Just it was like 2 or 3 months. It wasn't real long. But the entire time that she was working there, Nobody ever came over to be her friend. Remember that, Donna? She told us that. And she said, on my way into work today, she drove in from, I think it was Flint or Saginaw, I don't remember, but it was a couple hours away. She said, I was praying, and I said, God, if I don't meet somebody today that wants to be my friend, this is going to be my last day here. And she was standing in the coffee line, waiting to get her coffee, and in walks Big Mouth me and Donna, and we're joking around. And she's right behind us in line. And we just started talking, where are you from? And, what do you do here? And blah, 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 blah. And she told us that story. And there was a nurse that was standing behind her. And the nurse introduced herself to her because she heard what was going on. And they exchanged numbers. And she said, we're going to get together for lunch or coffee or what have you. And this girl couldn't help but think, she said, that was a sign from God that he wanted me to stay here because I was ready to just toss it. This was it. This was my last day. And I always laugh. I go, see, why does God always send me or, Donna, the circumstances like that? But it blessed us. And then the rest of the day, we drove everybody else in the hospital crazy sitting and talking with them. But, sometimes you got to reach out with that hand. And, sometimes you're not even going to know that you're doing it. You do something nice for somebody and it touches them. Oh, thank you. So we are called not only, if we're in that spot, man, somebody's going to reach out their hand and hold us up. But we got to be cognizant, too, that there's others that are probably in that spot. We got to reach out that hand and pull them. Last one. Go to verse 8. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And I love this. And what a scripture to end with. He was now about to go into somewhere that he had never gone before. He was going to enter into the very courts of God, where the presence of God was, where the throngs of the people would come day after day after day, where all the celebrations were in this temple court. But he himself could not enter because of his lameness. And now he's grabbed by the hand and they drag him along. And you can imagine, first of all, being healed. After 40-some years, he's able to walk. He's able to move. What an incredible miracle. And when God reaches down and he does something incredible for people, you can't help but rejoice. Amen. And the one thing that this guy, he grabbed hold of Peter and John. And he said, I'm going with you. I ain't going to let you go because I got blessed with you and I want some more of that. I want to go where you're going. I want to go into the presence of God. I got a physical healing, but I could never go through that gate before. I could never enter into the presence of God before. I was always felt like a recluse or I was excluded. That there was something wrong with me. But today my life had been changed and I've been made whole physically, but even more than that, he was made whole spiritually. Amen. Because two guys going up, and I like it at the hour of prayer and how important prayer is. And I don't think they even knew what was going to happen. They were, we're going up to the temple. We're going to go do our prayers today. But God will interrupt your schedule. Amen. He will set you somewhere, and the next thing you know, oh, God, I wasn't expecting this, but I understand this is one of those divine appointments. This is one of those coincidences we talk about. And this person is in need. This person needs help. And like that guy that I was having coffee with, I said, he's in need. He needs help. You better believe I'm going to still have coffee with him. I'm going to still meet with him. I'm going to still try to encourage him, try to drag him out. And I told him before, a while back, I said, why don't you come out to our church? You need to be around some people that are strong, that have walked with the Lord. They're going to be able to reach down that hand and grab you. And you're going to be made whole completely spiritually. And you're going to be able to walk and jump and praise God going in. You couldn't imagine what this guy felt like going through those gates. For the first time in his life, this whole, like I said, walking into Tiger Stadium, looking at all the sights and the sounds and the smells and this whole world just open up. And I could imagine him just, as he's praising God, he's crying at the same time. And the people that saw him, they came running. And they recognized him as the condition he was. But God had done an incredible miracle. Amen. And that's, what an analogy that is for us. Many of us are like that beggar, as I started off saying, that we're there, we've given up, we've kind of lost hope, we kind of lost faith. But don't. God is going to send somebody your way. And maybe you're the person like Peter and John, that you're going to be going up at the hour of prayer, and next thing you know, There's a lady sitting in the hair salon and she's crying. Kim, that lady over there, she's upset. And you go over there and you're doing hair. Well, I can't be bothered. Well, yeah, she's really upset. They, you know, we don't know what to do. And you walk over and all of a sudden somebody's died or something happened. And you're put at that beautiful gate. It's time to lead somebody into the presence of God. It's time to see somebody restored back to spiritual wholeness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If I could have the prayer team come up here. Amen. We've been given an incredible responsibility, incredible gifts. And like I said, there's nothing I enjoy more than sharing my faith with people. And my wife will tell you, you know, wherever we go, you know, yeah. And I told this, you know, just real quickly, you know, we're going on vacation somewhere, we're at the airport, and she makes me take a solemn vow, please do not talk to anybody. You know how hard that was? I'm like, you know. And so we get to the terminal to catch the plane, okay? I didn't even talk to the people taking my, you know, checking the luggage. I'm just being a good boy, putting stuff up there. See, honey, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. So she, I'm going to be, you know, get a coffee. She's going to go down to the store. I said, well, I'm going to go get a coffee because we had a couple hour wait. So I go and I get a coffee and I'm standing in line. There's a young girl standing in front of me and I see her from the back and she's shaking. So I tapped her on the shoulder, excuse me, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, that was really convincing. So she turned back around and a couple seconds go by. Now she's convulsing. And I tap her, I go, are you okay? And she goes, no! And she just balls up, crying and just weeping. And I'm like, I just came in to get a coffee. And so I talked to her and found out she was a Christian. And she was going to China. And she was leaving from Detroit Metro. And she was there for about 4 hours by herself, remember? And she goes, I don't know anybody. I'm lonely. And it hit her that she was leaving her family for a year. And you know what her prayer was? I need somebody to talk to. So I said, come on, you can sit with me and my wife. So we're walking back down, and my wife is sitting there, and she, you know, the Lord can give you that look, and she's looking like, what are you doing? Who is, you know, we haven't even sat down together and started talking. And so I brought her over and explained to my wife and the young girl, but she understood at that point there. But here it was, you know, just, I wasn't expecting to talk to nobody. I was just going to get my coffee. But God is going to put you in those spots, amen. But we're going to rejoice with that person. And when we left, I'll never forget the look on that girl's face. She was just thankful that God had answered her prayer, but somebody had comforted her during that time. That's all it takes. You just never know how you're going to get that person in that gate. But once they get in there, it's a whole new world. Amen? All right, let's pray. If you need prayer, come up here. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here like this leper today, or not the leper, but the lame man, Lord, that your hand would touch them. And Lord, spiritually, there may be people that are tired, Lord, that haven't moved from the same spot year after year, but Lord, want to draw closer to you, want to know the presence of God, want to know the intimacy that those that are going through that beautiful gate experience. Lord, I pray that you touch them today. Lord, that somebody would reach out their hand and give them that touch. It would help them and would continue to pray. And maybe it is that they don't know you. And we pray that stepping stone would be that they would know you, that they would come to know Christ Jesus. The silver and gold we don't have, but what we have is in the name of Jesus Christ walk. And I pray, Lord, that those that are in that condition, that you would raise up. Even my friend, I pray for him, Lord, that you would raise him up. Lord, that you strengthen his ankles and feet, that he can walk spiritually again. I pray for those in this body here, Lord, who may find, or even those watching over the internet, or Lord, wherever they might be, Lord, that you would reach down and you draw them out of that place, strengthen them and bring them into the courts of God with thanksgiving in their hearts and praise upon their lips. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. There is coffee upstairs, so if you'd like to stick around and fellowship a little bit. If you'd like prayer, we got Ray and Sandra up here, and they'd be more than happy to pray with you. God bless you, and it's good to see everybody. I'm blessed.